The back and forth between Donald Trump and the state of California is ramping up on this third week of Trump's presidency. Trump has hammered the state in interviews and on Twitter after Democratic leaders here continue to decry his climate change and immigration policies, a border wall, temporary travel ban, and most recently fiery protests last week at UC Berkeley in light of a subsequently canceled speech by conservative provocateur Milo Yiannopoulos. Now, he has taken issue, Trump has, most with the idea of sanctuary policies across the state to protect undocumented immigrants. Here's what he had to say to Fox's Bill O'Reilly yesterday.
Well, I think it's ridiculous, sanctuary cities. As you know, I'm very much opposed to sanctuary cities. They breed crime. There's a lot of problems. If we have to, we'll defund. We give tremendous amounts of money to California.
So you're going to defund.
California in many ways is out of control, as you know.
Out of control, he says. Let's dive into this back and forth and what it means going forward with Kevin Roderick, who's with us for today's LA Observed. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Steve.
All right. Admittedly, Donald Trump says a lot of things. What does it mean when a president says a state, though, is out of control? What does that mean to you, do you think?
Well, it means to me that the president is staking out a combative position against the state of California, that he's basically calling out the Democratic officials of California and threatening them with defunding. I mean, nobody knows exactly what that would mean, how it would be carried out, how would a president actually go after a state like California, and would he go after a mega state like California? But it's at least rhetorically throwing down the gloves and saying, look, this is, we're going to go to battle here. And in part, that's what Democratic leaders of California want. But also, they're probably trying to figure out, well, what does that mean? How much power does he have to, quote, defund things?
Oh, the power of the purse, as it were, right? And we're talking about a lot of money here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a calculation by the Legislative Analyst Office in Sacramento that there's $368 billion at stake here. That's what the federal government puts into California. But that's all very murky because that includes Social Security benefits, health benefits, retirement benefits. That's not money that the president has at his disposal to punish California with. But there are some other vulnerabilities. You know, Los Angeles goes to Washington every year and asks for money to fund a subway. There's money for there's defense contracts. There's money for the universities and the research that goes on. There's all kinds of ways in which the president, should he choose to, could make life difficult for California.
I know there are many people here in this state who say California is what's called a donor state. It gives more money back to the federal treasury than it receives.
Yeah, and that's a murky issue, too. There was a study by a conservative think tank a few years ago that declared California was a donor state. There have been more recent work suggesting that it's closer to par. But the biggest thing to know about it isn't that. It's that California is by far the biggest state and contributes the most in taxes of any other state and gets back the most in services of any other state because it's just the biggest state. You know, it's the sixth biggest economy in the world. So the intertwining between California and the Trump administration is a permanent set of facts that have to be dealt with on both sides.
There are people who see this as a states' rights issue, and it's akin to what happened in the 50s and 60s in the southern states that were defending their rights to employ Jim Crow and separate but equal laws in those times, obviously without the moral equivalency here. Are there any comparisons, do you think, you can make with this?
Well, I think the most recent comparison that the politicians of both sides are using is the way Texas drew a line in the sand against Obama policies. Texas, you know, became very obstructionist about Obama policies led by the governor, Governor Perry. And there's people who are saying that California is essentially just talking about, you know, reproducing that from the Democratic side. And I think there's some merit to that.
All right. Kevin Roderick with today's LA Observed. Kevin, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
With more now, we're joined by Niels Frenzen, who's a professor of law and director of the Immigration Clinic over at USC, with more of these questions that we have. Professor, thanks for being with us.
Sure.
So does current U.S. law and the Constitution, the American Constitution for that matter, allow the federal government to withhold funds from the states? If so, how do they do that?
Well, I mean, the federal government has a long history of basically offering carrots and sticks, if you will, to states and local governments in efforts to get those states or local governments to do things that they might not otherwise be obligated to do. But there is a series of important Supreme Court decisions that make clear there are powerful limits on what the federal government can threaten to withhold.
Is there any precedent that you can recall to something like this?
One of the most recent examples that I would point to is the Affordable Care Act decision, the Sebelius decision in 2012, where the Supreme Court said that Congress and the federal government can certainly offer new funds to states under the Affordable Care Act, and Congress can attach conditions to those new funds. But what Congress is not free to do is to penalize states that choose not to participate in Obamacare by taking away existing funding that predated the Affordable Care Act. And so that's one recent Supreme Court decision that the Trump administration would have to overcome if it was going to try to withhold funds from state and local governments for not cooperating with the Department of Homeland Security.
All right. So say, and I'm talking in pure layman's terms here, right? Say Donald Trump and the federal government, even the Republicans in Congress go along and they say, we're going to defund, we're going to take federal funding away from California in one area. Then do Democratic leaders here in California, as a result, say, well, you know what, we're not going to send you any of our tax dollars? And we're talking about a lot of tax dollars, right?
Yeah, and that I don't see legally how something like that plays out as a practical matter. I mean, certainly it's part of political posturing, but I think the more likely response to a federal government threat to withhold funds is litigation, which is what we saw when states challenged Obamacare.
Today we're getting word that House Republicans are asking the Trump administration to block federal funding for the bullet train. This is the high-speed rail project, the billion, multi-billion dollar high-speed rail project that would connect Los Angeles and San Francisco. Is that legal? Can they do that?
I mean, I think something like that would clearly fall within the Sebelius decision, the Obamacare decision, where the Supreme Court, including the Chief Justice, said that that was not constitutional. Congress could not do that. Now, the Supreme Court can change its mind. The lower courts are certainly obligated to follow Supreme Court decisions, but the Supreme Court is unique in our judiciary, and so they could certainly change the rationale from the Obamacare case if they so chose.
I know in Sacramento, Democrats are fast-tracking a bill that would establish these so-called sanctuary policies all across the state, make it sort of a sanctuary state, if you will. Are those lawmakers within their legal rights to do that? Can they do that as a state?
Well, they can, and then we have an existing federal law, and indeed this is the law that is referenced in President Trump's executive order relating to interior enforcement and punishing sanctuary cities. This existing federal law says that local and state jurisdictions are prohibited from refusing to share information about immigration status of people who come into jails and prisons. And so there would be this state bill, if it becomes law, and this existing federal law would certainly quickly come into conflict with one another.
Niels Frenzen, professor of law over at USC. And Niels, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.